When it gets down to having to use violence, then you are playing the system's game. The establishment will irritate you, pull your beard and flick your face to make you fight. Because once they've got you violent, they know how to handle you. The only thing they don't know how to handle is non-violence and humour. And that was said by John Lennon. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Now, in the world of 2012, in the political climate of 2012, the human race is facing a myriad of problems, but the really fortunate thing about it is that with this myriad of problems comes also a myriad of opportunities. And the opportunities we're being presented with are indeed the opportunities we have always needed to escape from the system that currently enslaves us. Because all of the problems that we see manifested by the system are having the effect of laying the workings of the system, the mechanism of the establishment, bare for all to see. And once we can see the corruption and the psychopathic nature of the society in which we live, we are then able to address the problem. Because the biggest problem that we've faced throughout history in regard to standing up against this system has been the hidden nature of the mechanisms that the system uses to enslave the human race. But now these mechanisms are being laid bare for all to see, and just being aware of the problem presents three-quarters of the solution to healing the problem. Because that's the big thing, folks, is knowing that a problem exists, knowing that the disease is there. Because if you're not aware of the sociological and psychopathic and sociopathic nature of the overall human mindset, or the mindset that controls our societies at any rate, then it's impossible to address the problem. It's the hidden nature of this mindset that has allowed the perpetuation of this system for so long. And that's why I see all of this as opportunity. Everything we face, folks, it's all opportunity. And the opportunities have never been more available to us, and they have never been more in your face than what they are now, especially here in Australia. Now, I know I've been concentrating on Australia a lot on the last few shows, but it's because things are just snowballing here, folks. It's absolutely outrageous. Some of the things that the tyrannical Gillard regime is doing to this country. And just by her actions, folks, there really should be no doubt in anybody's minds that Julia Gillard is an absolute psychopath and has done more to destroy this country than any other previous leader this country has had. And in fact, Julia Gillard has absolutely worked to remove people's rights, to impose her will over the people, and has also taken considerable steps to destroy what is left of the feminine within our society. Not only has she given herself pay rises to the extent where she is now the most highly paid leader in the world, but her latest escapade is to turn the Northern Territory of Australia into the world's nuclear waste dump. She's also solely responsible for putting women in the military on the front line with weapons so that they can now shoot other people. Women have traditionally played supportive roles in the military and were not put on the front line with weapons, but Julia Gillard wishes to see further equality of the sexes by putting women out on the front line with weapons and turning them into killers. Julia Gillard, of course, has absolute disdain for anything to do with the feminine in society and has very much tried to be a man all her life. Probably because she's such a failure at being a woman, but I guess that's just the way the mind of a psychopath works. She's also worked to destroy the water table in this country by promoting coal seam gas mining as much as she can and to basically help with the theft of all of the resources of this country and see them transferred overseas. Something you've got to understand about Australia, folks, is that Australia is one of the most resource-rich countries on earth. It really is a very wealthy country in respect to the resources that we have here. And with all of this great wealth of resources, we also have one of the lowest populations anywhere in the world. So the share of the commonwealth of this country per capita should be absolutely enormous. It really should. You should see Australians having one of the highest standards of living in the world simply because of the amount of resources in the country and the low, low population that we have here. But you don't see this, folks. And what you do see in Australia is one of the highest costs of living in the Western world. And so this is a very clear indication of how little of the commonwealth is actually passed down to the people. You see, countries like Dubai, simply because they have a lot of oil, it's a very rich country because the wealth of the nation is passed down to the people in the country. But in Australia, you don't have that. You have none of the wealth of the nation passed down to the people. Prices never go down and the standard of living never goes up. It just gets harder and harder and harder. The standard of living only goes up for the CEOs of big corporations and for the politicians. As I said, Julia Gillard is now the highest paid world leader. She actually pays herself $450,000 a year, folks. This is more than President Obama. So there really should be no doubt about the importance of the Australian leader on the global stage. And really all she does to gain this incredibly high wage is destroy the country around her and remove the rights and destroy the lifestyle of the people within her country and rape all the resources of the nation and send them overseas. That's all she does, folks. And for this, she pays herself almost $500,000 a year. And yet for the average Australian, the cost of living is extremely high. And it just gets worse and worse, and more people get discarded by the system the further along we go because of the psychopathic nature of the system. I've got a friend who was actually in trouble paying off the payments to her house, and when the court was informing her that she was facing possible eviction, the judge and the police officer and all the appointees of the court were all saying to her, look, we really feel bad about this. We don't want to see you thrown out of your house. But unfortunately, we have no choice. And folks, this shows the nature of the system because these people do actually have a choice. What they need to be saying is, well, hang on a minute. We, the people, constructed this system in order to service the needs of humanity. And yet the most expendable thing within the parameters of the system itself is humanity. So how then can this system be serving humanity? So rather than throwing this woman out of her house, what we need to do as police officers and as judges and lawyers and representatives of the legal system is we need to look at which sections of the system are flawed enough to have created this as a reality. What parts of the system are flawed enough that they would cause a person to be discarded in order to serve the system? So we need to follow the line of command, see which legislations have been enacted and which acts and statutes have been enacted which have led to this woman being thrown out of her house, and find out who enacted those statutes and acts and go and arrest them. Because we the people employ the politicians to maintain a system that serves humanity. So if people are the most expendable thing within the system, then the system is flawed. These regulations and rules must have been created by somebody, so let's find out who it was and hold them accountable for their actions. That's the way people need to think. That's the way the judges and the police officers and the lawyers need to think, because the system is supposed to service the needs of humanity. See, that's what we've lost, folks, is that perspective. The perspective that we are actually the top of the food chain. We created the system to serve us. So if we are the most expendable thing within the parameters of the system, then we need to find out what has degraded and deformed the system in order for it to behave this way. And again, we come back to the psychopathic nature of our society, and a quote that I used a couple of weeks ago from the book Political Ponerology that said that when you have psychopaths running countries and employed as the CEOs of big business, then their psychopathic morals, or lack of morals, becomes the morality of the system over which these people preside. And this affects the human mind like a pathogen, and that what perpetuates this and allows the infection to continue is people's lack of knowledge of how it works. See, this pathogen, this psychopathic pathogen that controls the mindset of our society can only exist if people are unaware that it exists, because as soon as people are made aware of it, it becomes quite obvious for all to see. And when it becomes obvious, then people can choose to step away from it and do something else. And not only that, to hold those who enacted these pieces of corrupt legislation accountable for their actions. Because it's a paper-based system, folks. It only exists on paper. It's not like any of these laws or so-called laws that are enacted are actually real. They're only written down on paper as legislation. They are the will of people that they impose upon the rest of society. And they have their law keepers and police officers in order to enforce their will and their legislation. But all this legislation does is remove natural law from the planet and impose the will of politicians in its place. And this enables the politicians to be able to do stuff like strip mine the planet, strip mine our country, the way they're doing with Australia, the way they're destroying the water table and saying, oh, it's all within the parameters of the law, the way they're turning the Northern Territory into a nuclear waste dump. I mean, all of this stuff only happens because of people's lack of knowledge of the psychopathic nature of the system and their belief that the system is real, when it's not. It's just a paper-based reality that was made up by those people that we employ to protect us and to look after us and to make sure that society functions well. And so that's the understanding that people need to have. And this is how we change it, folks. We have to be aware of it. We have to be aware that we are the top of the food chain. That's why we don't need violence. We don't need wars. We don't need anything like that. All we need to do is to realize that the system is fiction and that we are the top of the food chain. And you see, this is why it's got to be grassroots, folks. Because the people that are going out there and enacting all of this ridiculous legislation and enforcing it upon the people and kicking people out of their houses and arresting people for breach of statute regulations and all this sort of stuff, they need to be asking themselves why they are doing it. And often it starts with the people as well. I mean, someone comes to evict you from your house, you say, well, why? Why are you doing this? What is this system that has been created which would allow you or force you to come and evict me from my house? Have you ever questioned the validity of the system and why such a system would exist? You know, because once people start to question why they are forced to behave in pathological ways and psychopathic ways and sociopathic ways, you know, they go and evict someone from their house, they go home feeling terrible about it, but feeling that they had to do it because it says on this piece of paper that I had to do it. Why don't they ever question why it says that on that piece of paper? And why don't they question the person who gave them the paper? See, this is the way it's got to be, folks. People simply have to start questioning their orders, start questioning the authority which chooses to insinuate itself upon others or force itself upon others. So when you have this perspective, folks, it comes down to a real grassroots action of everybody questioning why reality has to be this way and examining the nature of it. Because when you do, you come to the conclusion that what we have is virtually a psychopathic and sociopathic system that has been put in place. And it exists because this is the psychopathic and sociopathic mindset of the current rulers of our times. And they've been in charge, unfortunately, for an extremely long time. And that's why the Earth has remained in the state that it's in. No matter how many efforts we undertake to prevent starvation, to prevent war, and to stop bloodshed, and to stop homelessness, and to support humanity and make it an empowered place for all, we still face a myriad of problems, and all of these problems exist at the hands of the system itself. And that's what we need to understand, folks. And we need to understand that the system is only propped up by us because we agree to go along with it, because we never question the rules and regulations that are given to us on these pieces of paper. We just believe that we have to follow them, because if we don't, there is this legion of enforcers that are going to come and make trouble for us. And sure, there is these legions of enforcers, and they do make trouble for us, but they are only able to do that because we live in a divided community. That's why I always come back to the fact that each individual out there needs to recognize the validity of the individuals around them and break down the barriers in their community so that we can all stand side by side and ask why the world has to be this way. Because when we've asked that question, then we realize the need to change the way reality is structured, and we see the way that we can do it. The way to do it is to have an empowered, well-educated community to realize that the system that enslaves us is simply fiction, it's just paper-based, and to take it upon ourselves to implement a new version of reality. And I believe we can do this, folks, and I believe that the more negative the powers that be make it, the more opportunity we are being presented with as a species to take the matter in hand ourselves and to step away from the tyrannical system that currently enslaves us. And I think it's really important that we take the matter in hand, folks. I mean, some of the stuff that they're doing, it's just beyond belief. There was a recent report by the Atlantic magazine that explains how engineering the human body could combat climate change. And the report is referencing a paper put out by Matthew Liao, who is a professor of philosophy and bioethics at New York University. And one really must question how much ethics this man actually has, or whether the term bioethics has anything to do with actual ethics, because what he's suggesting in the paper is that we could genetically engineer smaller babies that have a smaller carbon footprint. He suggests that the population could be drugged in order to be happy and like their surroundings. We could also have a kind of pharmacologically induced meat intolerance so that people could have a medication which would make them nauseous if they ate meat, so therefore it would reduce the need for meat. I mean, it is really something that is beyond Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. Of course, it's saying we would not advocate certain things, but of course, they would make it possible for the government to carry these things out anyway. It talks about using antidepressants to induce new beliefs with people. You know, if you have a very pessimistic view of the world, then you could take a drug that would cause you to develop a more positive outlook. I mean, all sorts of stuff, folks. And as I said, genetically engineering human beings to be of a certain type. And perhaps giving families the option between two medium-sized children or three small-sized children. The family might wish to have a really good basketball player as a child, and so they could use human engineering to just have one really large child, rather than, say, two or three smaller ones. I mean, this is where they wish to take the human race, folks. It's absolutely frightening. It's also suggesting that perhaps eyes like cats would be better, because that way we would not need to burn as much fuel for light, because we would have far better vision at night. I mean, it really is, as I said, folks, beyond Aldous Huxley, and it's a paper that really you have to read to believe. It kind of defies analysis, folks, that anyone can actually dream this stuff up. And it really does demonstrate the wonders of a left-brain education and an extremely boxed view of reality. And what this paper is talking about, folks, is eugenics and transhumanism. You see, eugenics and transhumanism are two of the things that seem to slip by under the carpet when most people just aren't looking. There's a lot of repressive pieces of legislation that are being brought in all around the place. There's the threat of the war with Iran, there's Coney, there's all sorts of things going on to distract people, and people aren't noticing what's happening in their own backyards. But when you really look at the eugenics agenda, look at Agenda 21, look at transhumanism, and you see how all of this ties in with everything else. It all ties in with Codex Alimentarius, it all ties in with the fracking that's going on all throughout the country, all throughout the world, which is actually resulting in the destruction of the global water table. See, this is all about driving people into large population centres, getting people out of the country, getting people in areas where they can more easily be contained, and subject to genetic and environmental manipulation. And this is where the smart meters come into it as well, the satellite grid, the mobile phone technology. It all ties together, folks. And the legislation and all this sort of stuff that's been brought in is very bad. Absolutely, it's bad. But you've got to see how this ties in on the global stage as well, because even with the health bill that's been brought in Western Australia, you can see how this relates to fracking, how this relates to eugenics, how it relates to transhumanism, how it relates to Codex Alimentarius. Because it's all about control, folks. It's all about locking down the entire human consciousness. And it's also about putting guards on all the legal exits that people may have available to them. And with the introduction of things such as this Western Australian Health Bill, you can also declare people who wish to stand up against the system as being insane. You can lock them up, you can give them shock therapy. I mean, all of these bills look quite harmless on the surface. You look at them and they say, well, this only applies to certain disabled children and blah, blah, blah. But you have to look a little bit deeper and see how these bills can be used and manipulated a little bit down the track. And that's the way they always do it, folks. It's always quite benign on the surface. But when you start getting into it and looking at the fine print and looking at the possibilities for abuse, then the true picture begins to unfold. And you see, it's always done in gradual increments, folks. They never do anything too out in the open in case people notice what's going on. I mean, they'll do things that are pretty blatant, but it's never so in your face that it will cause a rebellion. It's got to be done by the Fabian method of gradualism, and this is very much what they do. And this is why the agenda never changes with successive governments. As I've often said before, the governments may have little differences in as far as a healthcare bill or their stance on gay marriages or something which is completely irrelevant to reality. But the overall agenda never really changes. Now, when you look at the similarities now between the Gillard government and John Howard's government, John Howard, of course, was the Prime Minister that we had here for 10 years, the man who oversaw the Port Arthur massacre, the man who signed off all the deals for coal seam gas mining, and the man who got us involved in the illegal wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. Of course, while the Howard regime was in power in this country, you saw the opposition standing out against all of these things, and yet when the opposition came to power, all they did was escalate these things, when, as I said, they were standing against them in all of their rhetoric before the election. That is, of course, against everything except for the gun control that was brought in via the Port Arthur massacre. Every politician in Australia stood for that because it very much served their interests to put some extremely excessive measures in place to prevent people from ever being able to obtain firearms. I mean, you still can get guns here, folks, if you belong to a shooters club or something. You just have to jump through several hoops to do it, and you're not able to have anything that may be semi-automatic or anything like that. Nothing that you could use to protect yourself against anyone with a military-grade weapon, like perhaps the police force or the army, were they to be deployed on the streets in this country. You can go out there with a single-shot rifle and you can do target shooting, or you can perhaps go pig shooting or something, but there are no semi-automatic weapons allowed in this country. And this, of course, is as a result of the Port Arthur massacre. Very notably, and as I've said before, the Port Arthur massacre was staged just 1 year after the Howard government signed off on all of the mining deals that would allow practices such as coal seam gas mining to be carried out in this country. So when you're looking at global events, folks, something that you really need to do is step back and put all of these events together on a global stage and realize that all the world is indeed a stage. And if something happens which is causing a major social effect, then it's being staged for a reason. The whole Kony video that's just come out recently is a very, very clear indication of this, folks. Kony, the most viral video in history, received something like 75 million views in a matter of 6 days. And as a result of the Kony video. The United States are now saying that they can put troops anywhere in Africa if it is to protect civilians. So what they've done is they've basically garnered public approval for an illegal invasion into any country in Africa, as long as they can show the people that they're going in there to protect civilians. And folks, really all you need to do to sell that story to the people is to get 20 or 30 civilians in front of a camera and have them perform in the manner you would like them to perform. Maybe have them dance around a statue, get a couple of people, wrap them up in rags and make them look injured, and bang, you've suddenly created an entire false news story and you've used it to sway public opinion in favor of yet another illegal invasion. I mean, the people in Iraq dancing around the statue of Saddam Hussein was a classic example of this, folks, when the statue was pulled over and there were all the people standing around dancing. I mean, there was actually only those people that were seen on camera there. They were the only ones who were celebrating. And it was just a photo op, the whole thing. I mean, look at the news reports that came in during the first Gulf War that were actually filmed in the studio in the United States. The people weren't anywhere near Iraq or Kuwait, and yet there they were acting and hamming it up like they were. So most of these news stories can very, very easily be concocted, and that's all it will now take for the US to stage any invasion into Africa. All they have to do is garner public opinion and get the help of people such as Angelina Jolie to promote it to the people. Angelina Jolie was, of course, highly instrumental in supporting the Libyan invasion, and she's now supporting the invasion into Syria, and, of course, all being done under the guise of humanitarianism, when, in fact, Angelina Jolie is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and she has anything but humanitarian motives for anything that she does. But I think it's break time here, folks, so I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for spending this time with me today, and I'll talk to you again in a few minutes. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Now, in the world today, 2012, we are very much on the tipping point. Mankind is being bombarded and is under attack from so many different directions now and in so many subtle ways that it's very difficult for people caught up in the matrix, people who are running around on the treadmill and trying to keep their head above the rigors of everyday life. It's very difficult for these people to notice the bombardment and the attack that they are being subject to, because the attack is coming through the social systems, through the financial systems, through the legal systems. It's happening electromagnetically. It's the mental attack, the attack against people's minds that they're subject to via the education system and the media. And then we've got the biological attack they're under from the chemtrails and from the food that they eat and the genetically modified food that's being forced on them by companies such as Monsanto. And it really is so incredibly multifaceted, folks, that it is virtually incomprehensible to most people that this is the reality in which they are living. And yet it is, folks, and it can be clearly seen that it is, because all the evidence to support this observation is right there before your eyes if you simply step back and look at the world on a global stage. I've often said, you know, if people could step back and put themselves in space above the earth and just look at the earth and look at what's going on, look at how much stuff is being sprayed in the skies, look at the effect the genetic modification of the food chain is having upon the planet, look into concepts such as the silent forest. And there are many people that do notice it. I mean, recently we saw Hungary burn every Monsanto corn crop in the country and tell Monsanto to get out of their country. They burn over 1,000 acres of GM corn. So it shows that some governments are aware of the damage that this genetic modification of our environment is doing, and they're attempting to do what they can to stand up against it. And that's a very good thing. So it isn't all the countries that are asleep, and it isn't all the people that are asleep. But you notice that events such as this are never reported by the mainstream media. I mean, you wouldn't know about Hungary burning 1,000 acres of GM corn if you didn't get it from an online news reporting service. There's no way you're going to see it on Channel 7 or on Fox or on CNN, because that is not the job of the mainstream media. The job of the mainstream media is not to report the news, but rather to mould public opinion with a selective distribution of very scripted information. And then you can couple this with the fact that people are always kept on the treadmill and kept so that they're very, very busy in the rigours of everyday life, so that they never really have time to investigate many of these things for themselves. And suddenly you get the society that we have today, where most people, even though they work very hard, feel that they are informed because they watch what is reported to them by the television. They get their other information from cop shows and television shows and reality TV shows, which train them not in how to think, but in what to think. And so for many people, this is reality. Most people simply never realize just how controlled the environment in which they live is. The social environment, the intellectual environment, the informational environment. And in fact, for a very large number of people on this planet, everything they know about reality and everything that they understand about events that happen on a global stage is that which is presented to them by their television. And again, folks, even being aware of this is half the battle. And it's the same with any problem, folks. You have to be aware of how it works in order to ever find remedy. Now, on many of the shows that I've done over the years, I've often talked about energy, and I've often made references to the energetic nature of the universe, the energetic nature of reality. And I've done this to help people break down the fear that they may have in their life, which I believe is what prevents most people from standing up against this system. You know, the fear of everything, folks, the fear of peer group pressure, the fear of what people may think about you, the fear of the system itself, the fear of the police, the fear of the authorities, the fear of the legal system. And I believe personally that all of these individual fears can all be overcome by simply overcoming the fear that we have of ourselves and the fear that we have of the people around us, the people that we associate with in our everyday lives. Because there is always an underlying fear with these people. It's usually a fear of your own inadequacy or a fear of ever being yourself in front of these people. And this goes with ego and stuff as well, folks. I mean, a lot of ego is based in fear. Most people who have to inflate their ego in order to be around others are simply in fear of their own inadequacies. They're in fear of ever facing what they believe to be inadequate about themselves. And so they need to inflate their ego because they believe that it's beneficial to present an inflated view of themselves to the world. See, again, folks, this all comes down to insecurity. It all comes down to fear. And I believe that it is this fear which prevents people from treating those around them as themselves. And I firmly believe that that is the key to the whole thing. Once we can live our lives in Lakesh and treat everybody as ourselves, then the whole world changes. But it seems to be a very difficult thing for people to do. In all its simplicity, it seems to be very difficult. Many people go through their lives searching for something. They know that there's something more to reality than what they're experiencing. Quite often they look for this missing part of themselves in someone else. They search for a partner. Perhaps this partner measures up to what they would like to see in themselves, or perhaps they don't. But the point is that they look for this missing part of themselves, and they look for value and meaning from reality in someone else or in some other action. Even perhaps they might lock themselves away and become a monk, or become a traveling Good Samaritan, or a new Mother Teresa, or whatever. and totally dedicate themselves to others in order to find this meaning, but it's always something that is external to themselves. Very few people can find that meaning within themselves and find that wholeness that exists within them and which they've been kept from seeing, they've been prevented from seeing, they've been steered away from this wholeness and this connection that they have to the world around them by everything within our society. All the social systems, the education systems, the religious systems most especially, always teach people to look for salvation in something external to themselves. And yet I believe that if people would simply look within and see the connection that they have to others, then they would find that the answer they've been seeking has been right there in their heart for their whole lives. They've just never looked in there to see it. And this is why I believe an understanding of energy is so important, folks, because when you can see that spark of life that exists within yourself is the same as the spark of life, the essence that exists in the person next to you and exists in all people. When you can see this and you can begin to interact with people and with reality around you on that level, then the whole world changes. It just serves to break down the barriers, the walls. They just crumble. They fall to the ground. And then you apply to reality around you and you look around and you begin to question things. And it's like I said earlier in the first half of the show, the reason this oppressive authoritarian regime holds sway over us so strongly is because people have been trained not to question things. No one ever questions the status quo. No one ever questions why they have to treat a living human being as something that is more expendable than the system. And they have to discard humanity along the way in order to support the system that was created to service humanity. People just do these things without question because it says on a piece of paper some way that that is the sociopathic manner in which they are required to act, according to the parameters that have been granted to them by the system that they serve. But it's in questioning reality, and it's in questioning the system that remedy lies. This is the true beginning, folks. This is the beginning. This is the essence of freedom, is to question your captivity. And that's why change will only ever be effected at a grassroots level. I mean, we can't go and have a big movement, big mass movement and protest in the street and demand someone else change things. We have to make the change within ourselves. We have to start questioning the authority within our communities and start questioning why those around us should be forced to suffer at the hands of this system. When we see people suffering, we need to support them. We need to stand up with them against the system. And we need to do this by simply asking questions and causing those figures of authority that are carrying out this sociopathic legislation and enforcing it upon the people, we need to cause these people to start questioning their actions as well. Because the rights of the peoples and the basic needs of the peoples need to be protected at any cost. And this should be the most treasured and the most important thing that we hold within our hearts and within this system. And if the system itself chooses to do the opposite, then we need to question it. I mean, I don't know why people can't just view the world this way. It makes perfect sense to me. It doesn't make any sense at all to allow any human being to suffer in order to support a fictional system. To me, it's not even a debatable point. I mean, if the system is going to operate in a way that hurts the people, then of course that part of the system needs to be discarded. And you can't say, well, look, if we do that, then we've got no law and we've got chaos. I mean, it's ridiculous, folks, because if the system chooses to discard humanity along the way, then we've got no law and chaos now. and we need to fix it. It isn't a matter of maintaining the status quo. It's a matter of creating a system that works for everybody. Of course, the first thing we need to do is break down the corporate structure completely. We don't need any corporations on this planet. We don't need anything to be run the way it is. But again, the first step is to become aware of this, and I suppose the second step is to educate those around you so that they too become aware of it, so that we can at last have an empowered community. And frankly, folks, I think we're running out of time in which to do this. So the question really is, what are you doing out there? What are you doing to get the message out to people? I've actually spent the last week burning DVDs of this Chappelle Corby disc, and we're having a huge giveaway this week where we're going to distribute them through the entire town, absolutely saturate the entire area. And that's a start. That's one thing. I've been doing the usual handing out of pamphlets and flyers and DVDs in most places that I go. But folks, really the most important thing is, as I've said, it's the grassroots action. You've got to break down these barriers in your community. And folks, look, really, we're being given all of the tools and opportunities we need to do this with things such as fracking, coal seam gas mining. Here in Australia, like I said, we've got the Northern Territory being turned into a nuclear waste dump amid massive protests from people. It would seem that nobody in Australia wants this nuclear waste dump to go ahead, and yet the government is going to do it anyway. This is an enormous opportunity for the people to see how corrupt the government is and how little they actually care about the wishes or the will of the people of their country. And you can see this in America with the legislation that Obama brings in. You can see it in England with the legislation that's brought in. You can see it in Canada. You can see it in all Western countries, folks. Our governments are constantly doing things that we do not want them to do. And they are quite literally a handful of people that are employed to act on our behalf and do things that we do want them to do. I mean, to be honest, folks, sometimes I find it enormously frustrating that the average people around me cannot see that what enslaves them is a system that only exists on paper, and that the government gets away with what they do because of our willingness to abide by what is written on these pieces of paper, no matter how much they remove us of our rights, and no matter how much they destroy the environment. We believe that it must be done because our servants wrote it down on a piece of paper. It's an endless source of frustration for me and an endless source of fascination for me that people simply cannot see the reality of this and see how this system functions. And they cannot comprehend the psychopathic nature of the system and how it is designed to support only itself at the expense of all life on the planet. Because that's what it's doing, folks, and it's painfully obvious that that's what it's doing and that that's how it operates. And the only reason I believe people don't see it is because they are kept so busy on the treadmill, and they have to be on the treadmill because they don't have the support of the community around them. It's every man for himself, and we have to really break out of that mentality. And I know it's enormously difficult to do, folks. For most people, it is anyway. I know it is because I see the lack of response that I get from many people in the community around me. But I still believe that leading by example is the key to the whole thing. If you can show people that there is a better way by your own actions and by the example that you set with your own life, then you can change things. You can make people aspire to greater heights. And we can do it ourselves, folks. We don't need to be genetically altered in order to save the world. We don't need to put a tax on breathing in order to be responsible human beings. There's no good putting a carbon tax in and basically taxing life itself in order to save the world. What you need to do is revoke the charter of the corporations that are working so hard to pollute the world. That's where the problem lies. You don't need to genetically alter seed and create a satellite grid in order to control agriculture to deal with world starvation. What you need to do is you need to implement an honest monetary system so that the people of the world are not forced into positions where they are starving. not forced into positions where they have to milk the resources of their country in order to pay off a debt to the bank. This is not the type of financial system we need in place. All of the corporate structures that enslave mankind need to be dismantled. And the best way to dismantle them is for people to walk away from them. For people to realize that the only thing that supports these corporate entities is a system that only exists on paper. And to realize that the most important thing on the planet is the life that the planet holds. Not just human life, but all life. We need to respect this life. And anything that chooses to encroach upon this life in order to support its corporate, sociopathic, psychopathic self needs to be discarded. Because that's what the system is, folks. It's like a psychopathic organism that only exists on paper and that only functions because of the energy that we, the people of the world, give to the system. It feeds on our energy, folks, and that is the only thing that perpetuates this system. So we need to stop giving it our energy. We stop giving it our energy by understanding what energy is and by understanding what each other is and by interacting with each other in a manner of in Lakesh. I don't know. It's so simple. It's so simple that people just can't see it. And it's the answer to all of the problems that we face. All people have to do is let down that guard, let down that barrier that they have, and start connecting with the people around them. You can't support this system, folks. I mean, you'll end up a criminal like everybody else because that's the way the system is working. It's all heading towards total criminalization. They're making it illegal to do anything. Soon it will be illegal to breathe too much, I'm sure. I'll think of something, folks, in order to curtail even the most basic of freedoms. And this will make it possible for everybody to commit some sort of crime at any time of the day or night without even trying. And then at last, people will be uniform in the eyes of the law and all can be subject to the same rigorous control system. And that's what they want and that's where they're heading. And it's only going to get worse until we see the system for what it is. We embrace the correct energy and we stand up for each other and walk away from the fictional meme that currently controls virtually every aspect of our reality. And it's true, folks, it does. And if you can't see it, well, I would suggest that it's simply because you haven't looked. And if you think it's going to go away without us standing up and positively addressing it, then I would suggest that you are simply in a state of denial. And even those who are waiting for a higher force to come and save you, even those who are waiting for the arrival of the Galactic Federation, or those who are waiting for Christ to come and save you, those who are waiting for a rapture, what makes any of these people believe that they are worthy of being taken to any higher reality when they have so neglected the reality that they live in now? When there is so much suffering in the world, and that all of this suffering is perpetuated simply by our failure to face the fear within ourselves. Because it is the fear within ourselves that prevents us from standing up against the psychopathic system that causes all of the problems we currently see in the world. There's a big responsibility there, folks, and there's a big shift in the paradigm that needs to happen. We really do need, as a whole, as a race, to step back and take a good, long, hard look at the reality in which we live. And take a good, hard look at the solution that is right there before us. Because the solution is simply to stop what we're doing and change our perspective. There is no political remedy. There is no legal remedy. There is no piece of paper that can be filled out. There is no governing body that we can elect to change things for us. There is no movement, no organized body of people that will ever affect any positive change in this world until people change their perspective of reality and start applying the correct energy to themselves, to the people around them, and to the world as a whole. That's how we change it, folks. And it's up to us to do it. So the question is, when are we going to start? You see, there is no other remedy for our situation. There is no one coming to save anybody. Not until we choose to save ourselves. Not until we make the conscious decision to be whole, to live in empathy, to live in compassion, to know who and what we are, and to realize that those around us are exactly the same as we are. That's when remedy will be found. And it's in a simple change of attitude. That's why I've been saying the same thing on these radio shows for so many years now. But I think we're almost at the close of this radio show, folks. Thank you once again to all the people who have supported the Crow House in the past. Thank you again for even spending this time with me and listening to the show today. I know I go off on these little rants and tirades sometimes, and I'm never quite sure what I'm going to talk about when I come on air these days. It just sort of comes out the way it does, and I don't quite know what to expect or where it's going to go when I start, so I just kind of listen and see how it unfolds. So thank you for bearing with me through the little rants that I seem to go off on these days, folks. I do think there is a certain amount of urgency in our situation, though, and as I said earlier, it does become enormously frustrating that I don't see more people out on the streets and trying to effect positive change. But again, I can't blame many of the people, because most people are indeed caught up in the rigors of everyday life, the rigors of paying the bills, the rigors of keeping their head above the waters of the rapidly encroaching police state and sea of manufactured debt that they are forced to live in. And so they simply don't have time to apply themselves to reality around them. And yet the thing is that if only they were to do so, they would find that within a very short time, all of the other problems that they believe they face would all disappear by default. Once we have an empowered community, they will, folks, that's what will happen. Once we have an empowered community, the human race will at last be free. Well, it's been a pleasure speaking to you again today, folks. Thank you for spending this time with me. Thank you for putting up with my rants and tirades. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take good care until then, and never doubt your own ability to make a positive change in the world, because great changes are always caused by determined groups of little people. In La Keshe.